Tonight's year is at 9:15.
Tonight's year is 9:15. Yeah. Okay, we're about to begin a new sugya. It is definitely still part of our series of Basal Chol Shirim, but it's an entirely new aspect of an Issa D'Rabbanan, probably the most famous Issa D'Rabbanan in the sugya of Basal Chol. It's going to take us a little while just to flesh out some of the details of this sugya. Of course, very, very much, probably out of all the sugyas that we've learned the entire year, probably the most halach l'maisa, and that is the prohibition of eating milchis after eating fleishes. I'm going to say something maybe even controversial. Maybe a prohibition of eating fleishes after eating milchis. But I have to find out a little bit about what that is or is not all about. So it is clear that there is some kind of a prohibition, only midirabbanan, of having to wait, or having to do something after eating meat before partaking of milchis. Now, before we even look inside the Gemara, it should be obvious to us that this is absolutely not an issa d'oraisa on many, many levels, as we've already seen time and time again. Bas b'chov d'oraisa is only violated if it's derech bishul, if the foods were literally cooked together. We spent so much time a couple of weeks ago talking about even bas b'chov that came into contact with one another with heat is not necessarily d'oraisa, unless it's derech bishul. That's why if it came into contact derech klisheni or a different nuances of what's called a klisheni, so klisheni and mavasha, whatever that means. So just because two things are hot doesn't automatically translate to mean that it's bas b'chov d'oraisa. And so this is clearly, if a person ate meat 20 minutes ago, now he wants to have an ice cream, so obviously there's no derech bishul between the two foods. Clearly that wouldn't pose a problem in the Torah. Nevertheless, there is a prohibition with the Rabbanan of having bas b'cholov together, eating bas b'cholov together, even with shalom derech bishul. So if I take a cold piece of roast beef, I take a cold slice of cheese, and I make a sandwich together, that's still prohibited with the Rabbanan. So that's not bas b'cholov d'oraisa, but it's still bas b'cholov with the Rabbanan. As long as it's together. That's what the Rav explained, that sometimes we find in halacha that the term bas b'cholov is spelled with a bay, bas b'cholov, and sometimes it's bas b'cholov with a vav. So the Rav said that they're really two different concepts. Bas b'cholov means the meat is cooked in the bay means b'soch, b'soch ha'cholov. So bas b'cholov is bas b'soch ha'cholov, that's the model deraisa. Bas b'cholov means meat and, vav means and, it means in means and. Basavicholov means meat and milk that are eaten together. That would be prohibited mid the Rabban. So everybody agrees that when you ate meat an hour ago and now you want to eat milk now, but have milk now, that is clearly not a basavicholov deraisa problem. And we're not even quite sure why it's also mid the Rabban. Like based on what? Why should that be prohibited mid the Rabban? I'm not eating it together. I had the meat 20 minutes ago and having the milk now. So why is that even mid the Rabban? So it is clear for the Gemara that issur exists, but it's unclear is why that issur exists. Let's take a look at the first of the Mamakamos. We're going to pick it up from four lines from the bottom. The Gemara goes back to what it spoke about earlier, Gufa. Amar Rav Chisda, we had said earlier, Ochel Basar, Osur Lechol Gvina. If a person ate meat, so he is not allowed to eat cheese, even though he already ate the meat. I don't need Rav Chisda to tell me they are not allowed to eat meat and cheese together. That I already know, but the Rabbanan, that even tzonim b'tzonim is a problem. The chiddush of Chizd is that even if I ate the meat in the past, I'm still not allowed to take the cheese. And the other way around would be permissible. Whereas if a person ate cheese, so then he would be permitted to eat meat. So gvina mutlechel basar. So there's no question that this issur exists. The question is, what is this issur based on? So this is a major machlekes rishona, which really sets the stage for us. So yeah, a major machlekes in Rashi, the Rambam, to institute this entire issur d'rabbanan of waiting after eating meat. So Rashi learns that this is based on the fact that when a person eats meat, so some of the time of the meat remains in his mouth for a while. Meat is a fairly strong, sharp, tasting food, and the ta'am abosa remains inside his mouth for a while. And therefore, if he partakes of cheese, maybe even a few hours later, since the ta'am of the basar is there, that would be equivalent with the rabbanon of eating basar b'cholov together. Now again, obviously not with the rice, there's no derech bishul here, but this is an extension of the yisad rabbanon of not having a cold roast beef and cheese sandwich. The same way that with the rabbanon they extended Basa b'cholav from basa shit is basha b'zochah cholav to basa v'cholav together. They took it one step further and said that even though there's no real be'ani anymore in your mouth, there's no meat that I can point to, but the mere fact that there's tama basa there, that would pose a problem. Apparently, according to Rashi, if it's done the other way around, then there's nothing to worry about. Apparently, if the Gemara says in the same breath that ochel gvina le'ochel basar, so that seems to indicate that that tama gvina somehow is not something that we have to reckon with. If it's not there, if it's not, does it concern us? Again, we're not quite sure why, but it's clear according to Rashi that the Isra is tam, and therefore the tam goes in one direction, doesn't go in the other direction. The Rambam has an entirely different picture. We're going to talk about this Rambam much more as the sugya develops, but we'll just give literally the Rashi Prakham right now, that the Rambam has a different picture. The Rambam says that the reason why you ochel basar ochel gvina is not because there's some kind of a tam, something that you can't see. No, the reason is there is something you can see, there's something you can feel, there's something you can actually touch. What is that? A basar odeda ben shineim. Also says in Baloscha, when the slav came, a basar odeda ben shineim, the meat tends to stick in your teeth. Now, we know that's true. Those are just facts. So since the meat tends to stick in your teeth for a while, that's called a concern of if you're going to now partake of a bowl of ice cream after you finish your roast beef 20 minutes ago, you're going to be eating bas b'chola ben. And again, obviously no der mishul, no der ice here, but that's going to be no different than eating a roast beef and a cold cheese sandwich together. So at the end of the day, bein lefi Rashi, bein lefi Rambam, there's no der ice waiting from fleshes to milchix, but there is an issa der rabbanon. But the reason for that issa der rabbanon is according to Rashi, is we're concerned with the tam, and according to the Rambam, we're concerned with the bas sotet of mentioned. Just der chagav, just as we're concerned with basa shemena shenayim and uchas kashrus, this is something that concerns us in other areas of halacha as well. For example, uchas tefillah b'mikvah. The din is that when a woman goes to the mikvah, she has to be very careful that there's no chatzitzas, and she has to be careful that no chatzitzas even in her teeth, even though she does not have to open up her mouth for the water to get in. Inside the mouth is what's called beis hastarim, the hidden parts of her body, it's inside the mouth, her nose, inside her ears, etc. So the halacha is that you don't have to have what's called bias mayim in the basis of. You don't have to have literally water going. You don't have to open your mouth and get your entire teeth exposed to the water. But what you do have to have is you have to have the ability for that to happen. You have to have what's called roi l'bias mayim. You can't have a chatzitza in the basis of star. That's why she has to clean inside her nose, into ears, other areas, inside the mouth, etc. So the Gemara tells us in the Tzavos Kedusha that a woman goes to the mikvah and she has something stuck between her teeth. If it's something that she's concerned with, something that bothers her, so that's a problem. That's called a davar machbin, a mutar machbin, and that would disqualify the entire tefillah. We don't need the rabbanon, robe, etc. But it would still pose a problem with the rabbanon. You have to go back to the mikvah. It's for this reason that the Rosh writes in the Chasdida that there's an age-old practice that women do not eat meat on the day that they go to the mikvah. Even though mikra did, they could eat the meat and then just clean up, brush your teeth, and floss, and go to the mikvah. But since meat is something that tends to stick in your teeth, as the Rambam tells us in Uchus Kashrus, as the Pasuk Melos tells us, therefore there was a minig Yisrael that the women don't eat meat on the day they go to the mikvah. Since this is only the Torah's minig, it's not a real din. The din is you can't have a chatzitza, but the refraining from eating the meat as a chashash is only a minig. Therefore the minig wasn't instituted by Mokha Mitzvah, like many minhagim. Like we don't eat meat in the 9 days for other reasons, but we do permit it in Mokha Mitzvah. So too, this minig doesn't exist at a Suda's Mitzvah. So what's called a Suda's Mitzvah, Suda's Shabbos, Suda's Yom Tov, things like that, one would be permitted to eat the meat. I think I don't know if I told over the story. In this context, I definitely told over the story in the past. That a couple of years ago, I got what I consider to be, I think we call it a 20,000 year Shiloh. We're not expecting repeated the Shiloh for another 20,000 years. It was a couple of years ago, Hanukkah and Thanksgiving coincided on the calendar together. And I received about 3-4 Shilohs that week. That women were supposed to go to the mikveh that Thursday night, and they wanted to know. Normally, they don't eat meat, you don't eat poultry, or chicken, turkey. The day they go to the mikveh, yeah, they were going to be very embarrassed. They were going Thursday afternoon to family Thanksgiving parties, and they wanted to know, is that considered to be a Suda's Mitzvah? So they were not asking whether Thanksgiving is a Suda's Mitzvah. They were asking that it happened to be Hanukkah. So the reason why I say it's a 20,000 year Shiloh, because I think the way the calendar is set up, maybe about a Mikdash, but the way the calendar is set up now, is that Hanukkah Thanksgiving will not coincide together for another approximately 20,000 years. It was a real, real fluke of the calendar. So So I didn't think that Sudas Chanukah was enough of a Sudas Mitzvah. Sudas Purim, maybe Sudas Mitzvah. The other Shulchan Aruch quotes from Hashem, you have to have Basar, but in Chanukah there's no Mitzvah to have Basar. So I didn't think that Sudas Chanukah could qualify as a Sudas Mitzvah. So at Sudas Thanksgiving, I for sure don't think qualifies as a Sudas Mitzvah to permit eating meat on the day of the tefillah. But back to that story. So in terms of the Luskashas and Basar Mecholov, so according to Rambam, the reason for this Issa de Rabbanan is a Basar didn't mention it. The question is, so how do you solve this problem? At what point do you say, I'm allowed to eat milchiks? So the Gemara is very vague. Ochel basa lo yochel to when? Till an hour from now, till 6 hours from now, from 100 hours from now, from next week, next month, next year. At what point do you say that these concerns of Rashi and the Rambam no longer apply? So let's take a look. Going back now to the first of the Rambam Kavos, back to the very beginning of that Mar Makom, and Chulukuv Dalar Rebez. Tana Igra Chabod Rabbi Abba. Igra was the father of Rabbi Abba. He presented us, he told us the following braisa. Of ugvina necholim ba'apikairin. That of and gvina, chicken and cheese, can be in the apikairin. Apikairin is not related to the word apikursus, which is quite possibly related to the word of hefkerus. It means no bounds, no limits, no nothing. The word Epicurean in Greek, eat, drink, and be merry, whatever you want, no enough to stop for anything. That's a life of Hefkerus, a life of Epicursus. So, Ofen Gvina said Igra, says the Bryce Igra's quoting, when you have cheese and chicken, so that could be in the Hefkerus. You don't have to be worried about anything. That's not a problem. Now, Igra is not telling me that you're allowed to eat cheese and chicken together. There was one Tana that said that we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. There was one Tana, Biose Glili, who maintained that not only is Bessar Of, Becholav, not Bas Becholav Derais, it's not even Bas Becholav Derabon, it's Mutlach Hatchila, make a chicken and cheese sandwich. But the Gemara says that we don't follow that. That opinion has long been outvoted. So when the Amoraim are telling us that you're allowed to have Of and Gvina Be'Apikurin, they don't mean to say you can eat a Mamish Be'Apikurin together. What does it mean? So the Gemara explains, Utan Levu Amalah. So he taught us in the Braise, and he explained to us what the Braise means. Belayit to us, Yadayim V'lo Kinu Chapeh. What it means is that you don't have to wash your hands in between. And what it means is you don't have to clean out your mouth. You don't have to clean out your mouth in between. So it is clear from this braisa that those two things would be required when one is going from eating meat to regular meals. If one had a piece of steak, now you want to have cheese, so then you would have to do those things. So all the braisa is saying is that those additional restrictions of the Tilas Yadayim and Kiddush HaPeh do not apply when it comes to chicken. Why are we so lenient when it comes to chickens? Hopefully, as the sugya develops more, we'll see. There's a major, major machlokes that we showed with serious ramifications for us. Why are we so make up by chicken, so to speak? Is it because chickens only derabbanan, like many opinions hold? Or is it because there's something physically about chicken that maybe it's less subject to some of the concerns that we mentioned before? So we definitely have our work cut out for us. And then we have a further question as the sugya develops. Do we even postulate this Bryce? The answer is, depending on what you think the Bryce really meant, the answer may or may not be yes. So we have a lot of work to do in terms of understanding how Ofer Gvina Chav Epikurim play out or don't play out for us the Maisa. But the part that we have to extract from the beginning of the Sugya is the solutions that are not necessary by Of are the very solutions that are necessary by Bosa, by Besai Behema. So what are those solutions? So the Tosha Dai, we have to wash your hands. Okay, so that's pretty quick. Then you have to do kinua chapeh. You have to clean out your mouth. So a simple reading of this Gemara would be is that that is the solution to the ochel basar. What must transpire in order to permit ochel basar le'echol gvina? So presumably the answer is kinua chapeh. The same kinua chapeh that the Gemara is saying is not deemed necessary for besar ov is exactly what's necessary for besar behema. So if you just read the first two lines of the Gemara, it would be pretty clear that that is the issue. That's what has to take place. In order for a person to become no longer what we call fleishiks, you have to simply clean out your mouth. Is there a time that has to elapse? Doesn't say. We're going to talk about any times. The Gemara just simply at this point talks about the notion of kinua chapeh. However, if you skip down a little bit to end of the first of the Mar Mekomos, three lines from the bottom. So towards the end of the line, Omar Ukva. So Omar Ukva has the following observation. Ana Allah Milsa. He's talking about himself. He says, myself, vis-a-vis this sugya of Basar and Gvina, so Ana Allah Milsa, Chala Bachamra Legabe Abba. I'm like vinegar, the son of wine, vis-a-vis my father. So that phrase, chal bar chamer, is a phrase that the Gemara sometimes invokes. It's a way of a person describing that they're not quite up to par with somebody else's standards. It means, my father, he's wine, he's good, he's shtak, he's gewaldic. Me, I'm like a cup of vinegar. I'm not worth all that much. What does that mean? The ilu abba, because his father, ki ava achol bisra idma, when he would eat meat today, lo ava achol gvina ad lemachar nashta. He would refrain from eating cheese until tomorrow at the same time. So if he ate lunch at 1 o'clock today, he had fly chips, he wouldn't eat milk for dinner. He wouldn't have ice cream before he went to sleep. He wouldn't have cereal and milk tomorrow morning. He would wait until lunchtime tomorrow, until 1 o'clock tomorrow, then he would go for pizza. So Ma'ukva said that was a great thing that he did. The ilu ana, what about me? I'm not so careful, says Ma'ukva. Bahasu dasu lachona. I won't eat milchis at the same suda, at the same meal that I'm eating basar. But the suda sa charisa achona. But the next suda, so then it's okay. As long as it's the next meal already, then I'm okay. So I'm not quite up to my father's standard, but I'm doing my best. I'm trying my best to Ma'ukva. A very, very strange Gemara. So is Ma'ukva, this is Ma'ukva on Yom Kippur Chapting Bidu, saying Achet, saying that he's doing a terrible thing, he's violating an Aveira, and it doesn't sound like Ma'ukva, one of the Heligam Arayim. So the Gemara is recording the statement of Ma'ukva and saying that he's not up to par to his father. It doesn't mean what he's doing is wrong. What it sounds like, the Lashon of Gemara sounds like, is that his father was being a little bit machmir, his father was doing a Midas Chasidus. So Ma'ukva is commenting that his father's Midas Chasidus as well. My father, oh my goodness, he was a Midas Chasidus. Nay, I'm a regular guy. I'm doing the bare bone minimum halacha is. So it sounds like the bare bone minimum is what Ma'ukva used to do. And he would wait until the next suda in order to partake of milchiks. So it sounds like that's what the din is. His father went the extra mile of waiting 24 hours, basically ace, but that much you don't really have to do. So if that's how you've shot this Gemara, then the Gemara is saying something radically different than it just said 20 lines before. When everybody agrees there's some kind of an issa that are born in the Bacha Basel Leach Ogrina, but the Rashi's reason, the Rambam's reason, everyone agrees such an issa exists. But now we're trying to figure out what is the solution to the problem. It's like in life, it's very easy to identify problems. Most people are able to identify all the problems. Then you need someone really smart to identify a solution to the problem. So how do you rectify this problem? So the Gemara is giving us two different ways to solve the problem, which seem to contradict each other. The first aid to the Gemara gave was kinuach hapeh, just clean out your mouth and call it a day. The second aid to the Gemara is giving us is waiting X amount of time. Now, truth to be told, we have no idea what X is. We have absolutely no idea how to measure misud l'suda. What does that mean? Does that mean personal sud l'suda? Does that mean there's an objective sud l'suda? No, it was really, really unclear what exactly that translates to in terms of actual time in the clock, if anything, time in the clock.
Also, but, Rebbe, yeah. The Gemara is using kvina, right, instead of, you know, chalav.
Right. Yeah. So the probable reason why the Gemara always uses kvina is because that's actually what was eaten by most people. Milk was not usually drunk as it was a beverage like we do today. First of all, the milk didn't stay very long because you live in a hot climate. You milk a cow by a few hours, the milk is already going on you. So milk was usually turned into cheese. And as cheese, then it can be preserved, then it can be salted, then it can be kept in a way that it can be preserved. So that's probably why the Gemara 99% of the time speaks about the term gavina. What? So I'll call upon him. We know there's a problem. We're not quite sure what the problem is. We know there's a solution, but we're not quite sure what the solution is. Otherwise, we have the whole sugya down pat. So as you can really begin to see that there's a lot of piece of this puzzle that we have to try to put together. So the first basic question we have to address is, which is the solution? Is the solution a time-based solution of an action-based solution based on washing out your mouth? And again, we don't know exactly what's called waiting, how long waiting is, and we're not quite sure what has to happen to wash out your mouth. but it's a radically different type of a solution. So we want to know, just in terms of the structure of the solution, what is the type of solution we're looking for? Are we looking for a time-based solution, or are we looking for an action-based solution? So if we take a look, at Tosis on the second of the Mamakomos, so it's the end of the fifth line, to the very end, Rabbi Natan Mefarish. Tosis quotes the name Rabbi Natan, who tackles this question. Rabbi Natan Mefarish, Rechena Lachas Gedolos, both Rabbi Natan and earlier than Rabbi Natan, the Balachas Gedolos, had the same approach. The Ochel Boser, also Lechel Gvina, Hainu Belona Tila Vikinuach. Now, when the Gemara says you had meat, and now you're not allowed to have cheese, not allowed to have milchiks, that means because you didn't do the action of the Tila Vikinuach. If you washed your hands off, got the meat off your hands, you washed out your mouth, cleaned out your mouth, whatever shape or form that means, so then you're good to go. But the Tila Vikinuach Shari. So then all you have to do is the action of the Tila Vikinuach, and it's perfectly okay. There is no need to wait. However, Ochel Gvina, Mutal Lechel Bas Apollon Tila Vikinuach. Whereas if it's the other way around, then we have no precedent that anything should be asur. So if you ate cheese or you had milk, then you don't have to do anything. You can eat meat 2 seconds later, you don't have to even wash out your mouth. So the real din, says Rabbi Natan, the real sugya, the real halacha, is the action that's necessary, the cleaning out of your mouth. So what's going on with the suda charita? Umar ukva dlo ochel at suda charita. So when Mar ukva didn't eat until another meal, what does that mean? Had a below the Tila V'Kinuach. Because my Ukva never got around to doing the Tila V'Kinuach. I know he didn't have water, he didn't have something to wash. Whatever the reason was, doesn't matter. It interests us that what Rabbi Natan is saying is that my Ukva is giving you another option. It means the reason why there are two options quoted in the Gemara is because they're equally valid, they're equally true. You can solve the problem of going from Bosa to Gvina in one of two equally valid methods. One is by washing out your mouth. That's perfectly okay. And number two is, if you don't want to wash out your mouth, then you could do it by simply waiting misuda l'suda. Get a real time, still is not yet defined what suda l'suda means on the clock, but it's some kind of a waiting period. Or inami, says Rabbi Natan, machmel atzmahoya. Or maybe, you know, maybe the reason why Bar Ukva insisted on waiting, it was in addition to kinuach v'adacha, but that was only b'taras chumra. That wasn't mikra din. And mi'ik mikra din, kinuach v'adacha is good enough. So Rabbi Natan is not 100% sure what to do with this Bar Ukva story. Why didn't Bar Ukva do kinuach v'adacha? So one reason is because for some reason he just didn't get around to do it, didn't have anything to wash his mouth out with. Or the Yadir Shlomo, even if he did, he still felt it was inappropriate in his chasidus to wait it out for X amount of time until the Suda Cheres. But the Menahe slice that according to Rabbi Natan comes out is that mi'ik radin, either method is really good. Either method is acceptable. There is no requirement to do more than one of the two methods. Either you do kinuach v'adach, but again, technically we don't know precisely what that is yet, or you wait misud l'suda, and again, we also don't know precisely what that is. But we know at least conceptually, according to Ben Adam, that either one would be okay, and that's the way to miyashe the two gemaras. The two solutions are equally valid. However, if you take a look at the Rambam, you get an entirely different picture. Take a look at the Rambam, the third of the Marmakomos. So the Rambam, Menuchas Bechos Asuras Prektes, a whole series of halachas, first in halacha Chavav, in the bottom of the first page. Mi she'achol gvina ochol atchila. So first of all, we didn't even know why the Rambam is talking about that. According to Tosfos, that doesn't even exist. That's not even a discussion. So the Rambam is already telling you something controversial. You don't have to wait, says the Rambam. Phew, could be the sigh of relief. But what do you have to do? Wait a second. Rambam's talking a different language in Rabbi Natan. The Rambam says, you had gvina first, or you drank milk. You had the Rambam, I guess better Rambam says you're ready to drink milk. So you had either you ate cheese or you're drinking milk first. So mutalechol bosamiyad. So you are allowed to eat meat right away. There's no need to wait. But what you have to do is kinuach v'adacha. But now, let's skip ahead to the Rambam in halacha kaf ches. And the Rambam tells us, mi sha'ochol bosa b'tchila. If a person ate meat first, so let's put that on hold for a moment because we have to come back to that as the sugya hopefully develops. Then you are not allowed to have milk right away. You cannot have cheese right away. And until you wait from one meal to the next. So what is the Rambam telling us in that line? The Rambam is answering the question of Rabbi Tam, albeit in a radically different way. What was bothering Rabbi Tam is there are two Gemaras. One Gemara talks about the method to rectify the problem of physical action, cleaning out mouth. And the other Gemara talks about waiting X amount of time. So Rabbi Tam said, either one is good. The Rambam says, no, that's not true. Not either one is good. Different solutions are reserved for different problems. Depending on what you're trying to rectify, that's going to determine what the solution is. So if you had cheese first, then there's no need to wait X amount of time on the clock. Just simply wash out your mouth and you're good to go. But if you had meat first, so then solution A is not good enough. Then in order, then you have to go down solution B. Solution B, the root of solution B, is the actual waiting of time. So unlike Tosfos, who said either one is okay, they're both talking about meat to milk. According to Tosfos, there's no such thing from milk to meat. There's no such animal. No, it doesn't exist. There's no way whatsoever. According to the Rambam, no. There is an issur, but it's a different kind of an issur and a different solution. So how do we understand? Now, according to the Rambam, since we're almost arbitrary, why is it that when you go from meat to milk, so all of a sudden you have to start looking at your watch and wait X amount of time? When you're going from milk to meat, you just have to wash out your mouth. What's the difference? The Rambam continues. The Rambam says, so back to Al-Khav Ches, Mish'ocho boso b'tchil, l'beim b'sabeim b'beim b'sa'of, l'yoch l'ach b'b'chol, v'atshia b'nein k'day shia sudacheres. And by the way, the Rambam says, I'm going to tell you, the Rambam is the first Rishon that we know of to actually identify X is, how much you have to wait, how long with Mesul Lusuda, v'kemo sheshos, approximately 6 hours. Now, we have a lot of work cut out for us in the upcoming Shurim to understand where did the Rambam get the problem. Does everyone agree to the Rambam? And even the Rambam himself used a very, very strange phrase, kemo sheshos. Sounds like kachatzeis alayim, like, about, give or take a couple of minutes of sheshos. We'll have to see whether that means anything for us at all. But again, the Rambam is finishing his thought that when you have meat before milk, so then there's a requirement of waiting. Why is that? So now the Rambam explains exactly why. This is the Rambam l'shitasoi. Because when you go from meat to milk, you have to reckon, you have to deal with the meat between your teeth. The kinuach is not going to remove that. And therefore, you have to wait it out. What exactly are you waiting for? So that's what the Mefarshim explained around. Mr. What you're waiting is as follows. After X amount of time, even though they may physically be meat, I can stop meat from last night dinner in my mouth, but at a certain point, the meat shebeni shinai becomes like ois meat. It's like over bottle already. It's already lost. It's lost its koiches as meat. And therefore, according to the Rambam, the only way to be certain that you don't have bosa shemen shenayim, that's the problem, is to wait X amount of time. The Rambam even told you the X is kemoshe shos. So it's clear from the Rambam that there are two different problems here, and that's why each problem necessitates a different solution. That going from meat to milk is a problem of bosa shemen shenayim, and therefore the only thing that could solve that is waiting. Just simply chewing something in your mouth is not going to solve that problem. So when you're going from meat to milk, you have to have misud l'sudah, kemoshe shos. When you're going from milk to meat, so then there's no bosa shemen shenayim there. There's some problem. What is the problem, according to the Rambam? What is that problem? So l'chora, that's probably closer to Rashi's problem. The same way that Rashi said the whole problem, the Rashi never heard of the bosa shemen shenayim. According to Rashi, the problem was the tam hadavar. So that's probably what the Rambam holds vis-a-vis milk going to meat. So the Rambam holds that there are two different concerns Chazal had. When you're going from meat to milk, they were much, much more concerned with the Basa Shebet HaShinayim. And Basa Shebet HaShinayim is not going to go away by simply washing out your mouth. So to rectify the problem of Basa Shebet HaShinayim, you have to have a waiting period, and that is Mesul HaSudah, Kamoshe Shos. But if all you're going is from milk to meat, so then you don't have to reckon with Basa Shebet HaShinayim. All you have to worry about is the Tam. And Tam, easy come, easy go. You just wash out your mouth with something. That'll remove the Tam. So we have really two radically, radically different approaches in the Rishonim as to what the problems are, what the solutions are, which solution plugs into which problem, what exactly is going on. So basically, according to Rabbi Natam, there's only one problem. The one problem is going from meat to milk. When you're going from milk to meat, there's no problem. There's nothing. But when you're going from meat to milk, there is a problem. That one problem has multiple possible solutions to it. Any one of the solutions in and of themselves will be sufficient to solve that problem. By washing out your mouth in a proper manner, or you can solve that problem by waiting whatever X amount of time is. According to the Rambam, that is not correct. Fundamentally, the Rambam disagrees and says, no, there are two different problems. One is a tam problem, one is a basar shebein shinayim problem. And the tam problem can be rectified by kinuach, but the basar shebein shinayim requires something much, much different, requires an actual waiting time. So two very, very different approaches in the Rishon. But there's still a lot of ambiguity in the sugya, because the basic term of misuda lasuda still really hasn't been defined for us. And the Rambam defined it, but not everyone necessarily agreed to that definition. Now, misuda lasuda is critical for us, because according to the Rambam, it's the only solution going from meat to milk. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, it's one of two solutions, and it may be a solution we may want to invoke. So it would behoove us to understand what exactly that term means, misuda lasuda. So the Rambam filled us in what he thought it was, but we're not quite sure that everybody agrees to that. Where did the Rambam get that magic number of kishesh shos from? So clearly the Rambam understood that there is some kind of an objective time frame, misuda lasuda, and the Rambam did his math and tried to figure out what that objective time frame is. So it goes back to Ma'ukfa. Ma'ukfa was the one who used the phrase misuda, misuda lasuda. So the Rambam went back in time, did a little history lesson, and said, well, how many hours passed between Ma'ukfa's sudas? So the Rambam says, well, how do I know? I don't have Ma'ukfa's diary, but I do have a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim that tells us what the Derech HaOlam was in terms of when Talmidei Chacham would generally eat. So the Gemara discusses that who would eat early in the morning. Some people would have a very early breakfast. Some people eat a little bit later. The Gemara says that Talmidei Chacham would usually eat into the sixth hour of the day. They didn't wake up for first. They got up and they learned a little bit, whatever they did. And then towards midday, close to midday, they would have their first meal. It's important to point out that in the days of Chazal, and even until not all that long ago, people didn't eat the lunch. Lunch was a modern invention. But basically, people ate Sudas Boker, Sudas Erev. That's clear in Tanakh. So we speak about by the month. They ate Boker, they ate this, and Erev, they ate that. The reason why you have Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos is you stick an extra meal on Shabbos. So that's the Shabbos. You chop around an extra, an additional meal. But basically, the Derech HaOlam is to have two meals. That's what the Mishnah says in Sukkah. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says, that on the Sukkah, you have to mimic what you do in your house. Just as in your house, you eat two meals a day, breakfast and dinner. So too, you should have breakfast and dinner every day in the Sukkah. So the Rambam is trying to do the math. How long transpired between Ma'upa's lunch and his dinner? So we know when people ate dinner. That's the first Sukkah that said his breakfast. They would eat dinner as it's getting dark. They would finish their work, and they'd come in from the fields, come in from the stores, and nobody worked at night, no electricity. So people would start to come in, and then they would eat supper. So they wouldn't eat supper at 10 o'clock at night, because it was pitch black in the house. They would start to eat dinner as it was getting dark. That's the base in the second bracha. It speaks about how the ani would eat a little bit early. He didn't have so much money to waste on candles. He would try to eat when there was still a little bit more sunlight out, and then some people would wait a little bit longer. They had candles in the house, but nobody was eating dinner at 11. Nobody was eating supper at 11 o'clock at night in those days. People were long asleep at that point because they had to get up at the crack of dawn. So how much time elapsed between Mokfa's lunch and his dinner? So the answer is kishay shos, approximately 6 hours. If lunch was right, breakfast, brunch, whatever you want to call it, first, as soon as Boker was right before Chatzos, and as soon as Erev was just around the Shkia time, so that is kishay shos. That's exactly what the Rambam was driving at. That's where the Rambam got the number kishay shos from. But does everybody agree to this formula of the Rambam that we're talking about an amount of time on the clock, talking about some kind of a real time elapsing between two literal meals? So that's not clear at all. The show on Friday, we'll pick up from the sheet of Tosus. But Tosus gives us a radically different understanding of the Suda Harita. What does Misuda Suda mean? Very, very different from the Rambam. So you're ready to begin to see, we have a lot of different opinions beginning to develop here as to what our problems are, what our solutions are, and even within solutions, we're not 100% sure what some of those solutions are all about, what they mean, what they translate to mean the mice. So we have a lot of work to do. Hopefully, that's on Friday. We'll continue with this. Okay. Everybody have a wonderful day.